I don't know about you, but jumping right into something sometimes is not the best possible thing. So listen to these words that come from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, and rough ways smooth. And all people will see God's salvation. You see, even God didn't rush into this. God planned it many, many centuries before this date that we just read. And it's a very specific date, too. I hope you realize that, because the first three verses give us so many things that we can pinpoint in history to say, this is exactly when this happened. And as you read the scriptures say that this happened at the right time. Some may say, why didn't it happen before? And some may say, why didn't it happen during this time? Because during this time, couldn't God have used all of technology to get around the world all at once? But the scripture said it was at the right time. Sometimes we'll look into that. Why is it the right time for it to happen 2,000 years ago? There's some remarkable things that God put in place prior to that event. One of those things is telling through Isaiah that there would be one who would come. John the Baptizer. I prefer to call him John the Baptizer because he didn't start the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Okay? And he was not a Baptist. Okay, we call him John the Baptist because he was a baptizer. He baptized, what did it say? For the repentance of the forgiveness of sins. John was all about asking people to make a way clear into their hearts for Christ. John is asking people to make a way clear into their hearts for Christ. Prepare the way. Get it ready. We traveled to Roanoke yesterday and back. And one of the things I truly enjoy about traveling up 81 is not the traffic, in case you thought maybe that's why I was excited about it, but being able to see the mountains and the hills. Between here and there. Do you see what Isaiah says, though? Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. This is all figurative speech. Not that that's actually going to happen. But it's figurative speech talking about, poetic speech, talking about our hearts. The hills and the mountains in our hearts and the low places in our hearts. All of that being prepared and being made ready. John's calling people to make a clear way. Prepare that way for Christ to come into your heart. Prepare that way so that when Christ appears on the scene, you're ready. Now, Advent, I told you, is a time of preparing ourselves, getting ready once again for the Christ to come, getting ready to understand that God comes as a baby, needing our care, needing our help, needing our concern, our love. That is just awesome, isn't it? God doesn't come in an all-powerful being and say, "Here I am." God comes as a baby that you can hold. A baby, as I was reading this week from Henry Nouwen, a baby that, how could you not help but love when you looked in the face of that baby? Think about that. How many of you have held a baby and not looked at it and smiled? How many of you held a baby and not looked at it and had great concern? And Henry Nouwen says, how could you not but love God as you hold God in your arms? You see, we should be preparing that kind of way into our hearts. John was asking people back then to prepare, but John's also asking us to prepare. That's why we can't rush to Christmas. Rushing to Christmas won't do it. It's taking time. God's been working in my life here lately. I love to study. I love to study. And sometimes it really doesn't matter what the topic is. If I can study and learn something new, I get great joy in that. There's a few spiritual masters that I've been working on their material for years now. And I continue to read them and I continue to try to slow down. But you know what God's been telling me? God's been saying, Tim, you've been doing all this reading, but have you been practicing? Have you been participating in what you're reading about? Have you been preparing your heart that I might come to a place in your heart deeper than I ever have before? And I've had to admit as I write in my journal that at some times during my life, it's been a lot more about studying and learning than it has been about practicing. I'm still a product of the Industrial Revolution. And you are too, by the way. The Industrial Revolution said if you're not producing a product, you're not doing anything. Right? Think about all the work that maybe you've participated. If you're not producing something tangible, you're not working. Right? Isn't that how many of our jobs are? If you're not producing something, you're not working. And sometimes God just wants to say what John's saying here. God just says, will you stop for a few moments and clear the way, so that I can come deeper in your heart. God doesn't come into our heart and push all the obstacles out of the way. God's willing to help us remove those obstacles, but we have to be wanting to and willing to. The exciting thing about John's message is that he brings it for all people to experience God's salvation. All people. This is a message for everyone. You will never meet an individual that God doesn't want them to hear this message. It doesn't matter where you find them. It doesn't matter what path of life they're walking. It doesn't matter if they're walking 180 degrees away from God. God still wants them to hear the message of salvation. Always. I know that you probably can think through history and think of some of the people that we would consider the most evil, darkest people forever. But you know what? God wanted them to hear this message too. No matter what they did, no matter how they walked. Maybe we need to prepare ourselves to be ready to help other people to hear the story. In spite of who they are. I've told you, I'm thankful of the guys that stopped me. My greatest hero at that time of my life was Clint Eastwood. Those spaghetti westerns of Clint Eastwood, I love. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to spend some time watching them. You'll love every one of them. Spaghetti westerns done by Italian directors, very low budget movies. Long blonde hair, flat brim cowboy hat. I did not want anyone to be my friend. And God spoke to three individuals and said, my message of salvation is for him too. I'm so thankful they listened. I'm so thankful that they helped me prepare a way for Jesus Christ to come into my life. And I know most of you here can say, I already know Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. Pastor, I've accepted that message. Here's what I want to say to you. We should seek to better prepare our hearts for Christ to enter a deeper part. If you're not working on allowing Christ to come to a deeper part in your life, you're going backwards. And I might even say you're rotting. Because you're not allowing growth to happen in your life. All throughout Scripture, we can see Paul say, we can see others say, it's a process, it's a growing process, it's an ongoing thing. The theological word for it is sanctification. Step-by-step process of becoming more holy. Becoming more like Jesus Christ. See, as I told you, I've been studying St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross. Oh gosh, for probably at least 15 years now. And I continue to read their writings over and over again, and they are ones that I find great joy and happiness in. And God says, you still can go deeper. You still can learn more. I know I will never in my lifetime get to the bottom of what I can learn from St. Teresa of Avila or St. John of the Cross. There's something in my heart about 15th century Spain that I just want to study them more, and God keeps pulling me towards them. And it gives me great joy and happiness to read their writings. But God says, how are you preparing a way deeper? How are you preparing to come to know me more? You see, the God that we know doesn't fit in a box. We may like to put God there so we can say, this is what I know about God. And God fits right here. And I'm going to tell you, every time I've done that in my life, and I've made my box, and my box is great, and it looks beautiful, and everything I know about God is in it, guess what? I find God over here. outside the box. So I changed my box, and now I got a bigger box. Now I got it all in here. And I find God outside the box over here now. Folks, what are you doing to go deeper? What are you doing to prepare your heart more? The very basic definition from the Greek of what a disciple is one who never stops learning. That's what a disciple is. One who never stops learning. I'll never get there. But I'm enjoying every moment of the way. There is always a deeper place for us on the spiritual journey. Always. If you're in the same place in your spiritual journey where you were last year at this time, the roots of your spiritual life are rotting, and they have not been fed. And the plant will not grow. And it will not bear fruit. If you're in the same place in your spiritual journey as you were last Christmas, last Advent season, your spiritual life is slowly going backwards. Now, please listen, though. It's about practicing and taking part and participating. Some of you know, well, I should be reading my Bible more than I do. You know how you fix that? Open your Bible and read. It works, don't it, Jerry? Open your Bible and read. It's not about the feeling of saying, I wish I did that more. It's about just doing it. Thank you for letting that slip out. Diane's sitting up here going, I said it. But she's absolutely right. If God's touching your heart that you should be in Scripture more, then do it. For those of you, and I'm gonna step on some toes here. I'll just tell you that right up front. How about that? For those of you that are so contained in sports, here's what I want to tell you. You can always take the first quarter of any football game, the first few innings of any baseball game, the first quarter of a basketball game, the first period of a hockey game, and you can read your Bible. And guess what? The score is still going to end up being the same. Whether you watch it or not, the score is still going to be the same. God taught me that a number of years ago as I fanatically watched NASCAR. You know what? I can figure out the setup. I can figure out everything that they need to do. I can figure out what they need to do on the next pit stop. Here's what I learned. They never listen to me. And the outcome was no different because I figured it out. What happens if I use some of that time to do what I feel that God's nudging my heart to do, to prepare Jesus Christ to come deeper into my life? Okay, I'll get off sports. Instead, let's talk about movies and TV programs. It's not like when I grew up. Not at all. When I grew up, and some of you are younger than this, when I grew up, if you didn't watch it when it first aired, you might have to wait a couple of years before you could see it when it was in reruns. It's not that way anymore, folks. Most any program can be watched on demand whenever you want to watch it. Are you slowly going to let things slip away in your spiritual journey? Because so many other things, I got to do it now. John's asking us, prepare the way. What are you doing to prepare the way? What are you doing to open up further and go deeper on a spiritual journey with God? God has already brought to your mind in this moment what you need to do. Now's the time to do, as God keeps telling me, just practice it. Just do it. Just sit down and make time for it. We make time for everything we want to do. Is God on top of that priority list? And are you doing what John the Baptist asked to prepare a way for him to go deeper in your life? It's not just about accepting salvation. Salvation is the very beginning part of the spiritual journey. There is so much more after that. And I keep talking to you about this because I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to get to heaven and go, "You mean I could have learned all that while I was on earth? You mean I could have come to know God deeper and richer in better ways while I was on earth? I thought all that stuff happened once you got to heaven." By the way, my thought is, my theology is, and I can't really support it deeply from the Bible, when we get to heaven, we will not know everything. If we did, we would be God, wouldn't we? When we get to heaven, there's still going to be a lot to learn. For those of you that don't like school, I'm sorry to tell you heaven's that way. What are you doing to learn? What are you doing to go deeper? What are you doing to prepare? What do you need to do to be better prepared to experience in a deeper way Jesus Christ? What are you doing? How's God touching your heart? And what's God telling you in this moment? You need to start practicing. What step will you take starting today? Don't wait till tomorrow. What step will you take starting today to prepare a deeper way into your heart for Jesus Christ?